I saw from the Chassam Sofer, the Gemara says that the Zmanim of Purim are learnt out from Bizmanehem, Zmanehem, that there are two extra days added on to the possibility of the Yom Tov of Purim. So the Gemara asks, maybe the extra days will be, the extra days are Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. The Gemara asks, maybe the extra days should be Shitzer Shivsa, the 16th and the 17th of Adar. The Gemara answered, it says in the Pasuk V'lo Yaver, you can't go further. The Chassam Sofer explains the reason why after Purim we can't add on extra days, the extra days have to be preceding Purim, is because the Hachonah for Pesach requires the full 30 days, and if that time will be spent on finishing off the Yom Tov of Purim, you'll be missing any time for Pesach. So now we're already a week and a half in, is definitely the time to start getting ready for Pesach. The Gemara says, Shlishim Yom Kedem Lachag, you should get ready. Mr. Burr says, it starts from Purim itself. But getting ready for Pesach doesn't just mean learning through the halachas. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah in Brochas discussing the halacha that you're supposed to run when you go to shul. And Rabbeinu Yonah sticks in a line, Shekol hadvorim tzricha makdomus. Every single thing you do needs to have preparation beforehand. The preparation for going to davening, when you run, that will be your hakdama. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, al yedeiva nirdefa, al yedeiva hachonas, yezeichet to the yediya, the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you come to through the mitzvah. The Chassidus of Welt say as well, the hachonah for the mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah. In the Litvish Welt, we say, through the greater the preparation for the mitzvah, and definitely the greater the mitzvah itself is going to be. But preparing for the mitzvah is not just knowing what to do and how to do it, but if you're prepared properly and you do the mitzvahs properly, then the ruchniyistika gains that you'll gain through the mitzvah will be on a much higher level. Pesach itself is massive. To speak about one topic, some minyanim in one topic of the Achanas of Pesach, a topic that's less spoken about, but mitzad sheni, it's very choshuv. Try to get the practical aspects of it, and also move over to get a bit of the hachonis and the ruchnis of what we're trying to get out of the mitzvahs. The mitzvah of dalet kaisas, to drink four kaisas of wine on Pesach. The Gemara says in Psochim Daf Kuf Yudayin Amud Beis that Chazal are mesaken to drink four kaisas of wine derech chayrus. When you see, as we go through again and again and again, this concept of chayrus keeps coming up again and again, for us to be b'nei chayrin as we're doing the mitzvah, to come to an understanding of chayrus. What understanding of chayrus is, we'll try to get back to towards the end of Be'ez Rasha. Why do we have four cases of wine? So everybody knows, in Rashi, the Rashbam bring it for a medrash. It says in the Pasuk, Vayitzaisi, Vayitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti, there are four stages of the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. So connected each one of the stages of the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, coming out of the pain of Mitzrayim, all the way up to the Vilakachti, which is Matan Torah, against connected each one of those stages, we drink one case of wine. So these cases of wine are supposed to carry us through, say the night, through these stages. We'll see in a minute that there's another pshat. We'll have to get back to it. In order to understand the other pshat, we have to move over to a different halacha. We'll be jumping back and forth from different halachas that come nigea to get the whole, as much of the picture as possible. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to drink any extra wine between the third case and the fourth case. Between the second and the third case, that's the suda of the Seder. You're definitely allowed to drink as much as you want. But between the third and the fourth case, you can't drink. Why can you not drink extra wine between the third case and the fourth case? Rishonim have brought three different reasons. The Rashbam brings from the Yerushalmi that the third case came after benching, which is followed by Halil, and after Halil you drink the fourth case. The Yerushalmi says, there's a worry. If you drink too much wine after the third case, a person can become drunk, and if he's drunk, he can't say halal properly. Halal is saying thank you to Kodesh Baruch Hu. When somebody's drunk, you can't say halal properly. Between the second and the third case, there's no problem getting drunk, because yayin b'teich hasuda, wine drunk in a normal fashion, during the meal is not mashaker. Tosfos brings a pshat that the reason why you can't drink after the third case, in the third and the fourth case, is because you've just eaten the afikoman, and the afikoman is zecher l'korban Pesach. And just like by korban Pesach, there's a halacha that you're supposed to keep the taste of the matzah of the afikoman in your mouth through the night. Over here as well, you're not supposed to drink anything that will take away the taste of the afikoman. Drinking wine overpowers the taste of the afikoman, and therefore you shouldn't drink wine after the third kais. If you say agav says it says water wouldn't be a problem. That's the second pshat. The third pshat is the Rashbam earlier and Daf Kuf Ches says that there are four cases of wine. Since the four cases of wine each have a purpose, if you drink more, that a drinking that will look like it's an extra drinking, not drinking during the meal, which is what you drank on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as well, but a drinking that's being drunk, especially during this Seder night, it will look like you're drinking extra kaisas over the four. And that is near a kemoisif ala kaisas, and therefore it's osur. A nafkemina comes between these different reasons, between kais number one and kais number two. If the problem is nira kamoisif ala kaisas, that you're not supposed to drink wine because it looks like you're drinking extra wine, it's normal, at least it was normal in those days, drinking before the meal helps your appetite build up. It's megarid taivas achila. Therefore, drinking between the first kais and the second kais, which is just before you're eating the suda, is not a problem. But if the problem is that we're worried, Shem Yishtaker, maybe he'll become drunk, then as long as you're not eating now, then that wine may cause a problem. Lahalocha we paskin, between the first case and the second case, ideally you should not drink. But if somebody's very, very thirsty, he'd be allowed to drink. But you have to keep in mind that since normally we don't drink between the first kais and the second kais, if you drink extra wine between the first kais and the second kais, you require a new bracha, because your das by the first bracha wasn't for that. If you make a new bracha, every bracha you make looks like you're adding in an extra kais. So you're back to the problem of nir kamoisif ala kaisas. So Mishabura says, ideally what you should do is, before you drink the first kais, you should have in mind that my bayir pri hagefen is going to work for me for any wine I may decide to drink between now and the end of Magid. Agav, what? If you forgot to lean, that's what you, over here, passes, you could be mekel. But you should have this das meikor, you shouldn't have a problem with an extra bracha. Agav, finishing the same kais, even between the third and the fourth kais, if you have a kais of wine in front of you, and you only drank half of it, and you have half the kais left, in Siman Tov Ayin Tes, the Machaber, the Ramo, the Mishabura say that you're allowed to finish off the kais anyway, because we're monoshach. If the problem is you may get drunk, you're entitled to drink four kaises, and four kaises aren't going to get you drunk. If the problem is nirikim moisif ala kaises, you're not adding on anything. It's the same kais you started with. So over here, if you have wine left over between the first kais and the second kais, it would be the same thing. It wouldn't be a problem. Drinking water between the first kais and the second kais is definitely not a problem. This is a zaita gagdoma to get to the other pshat. Meanwhile, we're saying, as we all knew from childhood, that the four kaises are connected. The Gaon in his Pirush on the Haggadah asked the Kasha. He says that the Yetzias Mitzrayim was split into two parts. There was the saving from the sakonas they were in and getting out of Mitzrayim, and then was the part that we're looking forward to again, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them back. Vayitzeisi, Vitalti, and Vigaalti are the saving from the actual Mitzrayim. But then after that came three more stages. V'lokachti, V'lokachti Eschem Lila'om, which is the Matan Torah. Ve'ivesi, that I'll bring you into Eretz Yisrael. And Vayisi Lachem Lelekim, and I'll come take you on as Klal Yisrael, as the Am HaNivchor, the Am HaShem. If you're drinking wine, Keneged, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's three. If you're including in the extra parts of Kabbalah Sotera going into Eretz Yisrael, then it's six. Where does four come from? Says the Gaon, Al Korchoch, you have to say that the four kaises of wine are only neged vaytzeisi vitalti v'go'alti. Aye, it's only three. He says, in v'go'alti, the Pasuk has two different aspects to v'go'alti. V'go'alti, ask him, the gula is bizrei and netuya, Uvishvatim b'gaylim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had two separate aspects of the saving when they left Mitzrayim. Says the Goyim, in Yerushalmi, it says that every single kais that we drink, say the night, is connected a pasuk in the Torah where it says kais. But it only has three psukim. And the pasuk, kais yishuais esa, is connected the third kais and the fourth kais. The Goyim continues that if you look into Kavanas or Arizal, the higher Kavanas, beyond our Madregas, my Madregas, Cholapachus, but these higher Kavanas for the third kais and the fourth kais are the same Kavanas. Says the Goyim, as you see from everything, that the third kais and the fourth kais are coming from the same source, the source of Vigaalti. Dr. Goyim, if he's there, there's a new understanding now why you can't drink between the third kais and the fourth kais, since they're both coming from the same Pasuk. You can't divide them up by drinking extra cases in between. Oh. The Gemara said that the Dalit cases are drunk derecherus. Many things are derecherus say tonight. You drink them beseba, derecherus. Somebody else pours the case for you, derecherus. The Mechaber says that if somebody has special kelim, very valuable kelim, he should put them on the table, say the night. Derecherus. Kelim noem machivim dati shalodim. Somebody has beautiful kelim, it expands the heart, as Loshon HaGemara, which means you feel very good about it. It's brought down Mishra Brewer, the Maril. If he had kelim that were a maskin from a guy, the person may discuss how he's allowed to do it. He had a separate table on the side, expensive kelim, he used to keep them on the table, that when he's by the Seder, he has them there to see. So he's seeing again and again and again to do special things derech Eros. I heard an interesting shaila. It's not going to be negeah to most of us, but the ramifications of the shaila come yeah negeah. I heard on Kela Loshen some years ago in a shiur for Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, somebody asked him a shaila. He had a becher made out of gold. Solid gold becher. And the shaila was, should he use the solid gold becher to say the night? So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein said, I'll look into it. And this person said, I have a makor from a pasuk. We just have to Purim now. It says in the Megillah, V'hashkois b'chlei zov, that the Yidden and everybody was served by the Suda, Sachasferis, with golden kelim. You see from there that serving in a gold kelim is special. So Yitzchak Zilberstein said, I'll get back to you. And he came back with three makiris. On the medrash, on the post, V'hashkois b'chlei zov, asks Akasha, V'haloy, a person is disgusted by drinking wine in gold. We all know the Gemara, that the Gemara says that a melech puts his wine to store in gold and all went off. But we assume that's long term. But the Medrash says that even drinking in gold short term is disgusting. So the Medrash asks, what does it mean in the post Vashkeis Bechleizov? Says the Medrash, El Kelim Shel Diurita Hoya. It was Kelim of a special valuable glass. And special Choshev glass that you can see through it. Imagine some kind of fancy crystal. And it was expensive, like gold. So Vashkois Bechlei Zov, we go back to the Megillah next year, Zov already has a different understanding. He said it must mean glass. And then he continues that there's a Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, Nazirus Shimshon, Ha'orah, some Shulchan Aruch has it printed inside. And Nazirus Shimshon, it says, when you're drinking the Kaisas, Dalet Kaisas, you shouldn't drink it in gold. As the Medrash says in Megillah Esther, Vashkois Bechleizov doesn't mean gold because it's disgusting. And then he continues on. He found the Haggadah of Yaget Moshe. In the early days, that was the Halacha Haggadah till the present generation came around. It brings there that Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says his father, the Chacham Tzvi, used to drink Seder night in special glass. And Orchas Rabbeinu was brought, the Stipler used to drink Seder night in glass, crystal. I told this over to my son, so he was learning then in the Mir with the young man who was a son-in-law of the Gevir in London, and this Gevir was a major wine connoisseur. And this young man told him that my father-in-law will never drink wine in anything other than glass, because glass has a special time to it. That glass is what makes wine taste good. Now, I'm not saying to drink tafka from glass. The Minika Olam is meant to drink from silver. But there are two ramifications. Most families don't have enough silver bechers to go around. A lot of families don't have enough silver bechers to go around. Some will have to drink from crystal. And there's always, not always, there's often a fight. It's not fair. I want silver, plastic, you had it. It's, you have here now starker materials that crystal may be as good or even better than silver. So the fights are over. One ramification. Another nafkimina comes is, we're seeing from the kasha that in Rambam Shteitzin, Rambam Perek Zayin, Alocha Tes, Alocha Chametz HaMatzah, says you have to make sure the wine tastes good. It should be orev. But here you're seeing that not only does the wine have to taste good, the kelim it's put into also have to make that the wine tastes good. Nafkimina comes, and this is a standard nafkimina. Everything, a lot of things are a rosh, erev Pesach. One of the things that's done erev Pesach is the places are polished. Very often they're polished very well, beautiful shine. But if any silver polish is left inside, the wine tastes terrible. Most people, somewhere over the years, experienced it. We're seeing over here that you have to make sure that not only does the wine have to taste good, but the kelim in which the wine is going have to enhance that the wine should taste good as well. The ikri is not the kelim that it's going into, it's a part of it. The ikri is the wine itself. Now, bizman hazeh, we're living in an interesting world. Many, many years ago, 30, 40 years ago, this kind of traditional Kiddush wine, or this one, or that one. Now there are hundreds and hundreds of different types of wines. There are magazines about it, there are newspapers discussing it. But lemaisa, when it comes to what to drink between the second and the third course, the Shasta say there, that you can look at the newspapers, you can look at the magazines, you can go to the store and see which one they recommend as the best 50 of the 300 wines that are available. But when we're looking at Dalek Kaisas, and we're looking at Kiddush, the place to look, the written word on what's the best wine, is Gemara Shulchan Aruch. Because they're telling you how to be Mahadur the best way possible. We're doing it Derech Cheirus. We want to do it in the way, the best way Kodesh Baruch Hu wants it. Benigea to wine, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, the wine of Dal Kaisas, we look to the wine of Kiddush, it's going to be the same wine. It's Choshev for Kiddush, it's going to be Choshev for Dal Kaisas. The Gemara of Basra, the Sugya starts from Gemara of Basra, the Gemara says, Omer Rav Zutra Batuvi Omer Rav, Ein Oimim Kiddush Hayoim, Kiddush can only be said, El Al Yayin Haroi Linosach Hagabi Mizbeach, except on wine that's mutter to be used for Nisuch Hayayin. And the Gemara declares, what does that mean? Does that mean to exclude Yain Megito? Yain Megito is wine that's just come out of the press, that hasn't fermented at all. Says the Gemara, since for Nisach HaYayin it's kosher, for Yain for the Seder, it's good, even the Chatchila. For Yain for Kiddush, it's good, even the Chatchila. So we're seeing that grape juice Be'etim is kosher. Now, we have to be aware though, that although for Kiddush during the year, grape juice is the Chatchila, Leila Seder, there's more of a shayla. L'haloch it's kosher. L'haloch it's kosher. But there's an advantage to use wine that has fermented for two reasons. The Gemara says that the that you're supposed to drink the wine. We said derech cheirus. What does derech cheirus mean? The way of freedom. So a lot of Pesachim hold that derech cheirus means wine that can is meshaker, wine that has fermentation to it already, that brings you to cheirus. Poshut pshat is that it can bring you above your inhibitions to the point that the tzoris that you have will not stop you from feeling the cheirus. So if it's meshaker a bit, it helps. Rabbi Eliashiv holds very stark that it's very important to drink wine rather than grape juice. Shlomo Zalman says, no, if it's cooled wine, it's cooled wine, and it's kosher l'chatchila. There's another Gemara, that the Gemara says, but Rabbi Eliashiv is also maskim that the Eved you ate with grape juice. There's another Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis, that wine has to have tam umare yayin. It has to taste like wine and look like wine. Tasting like wine, and Rashbam says, means it's meshaker. We don't paskin that you have to have it, but you have two gemaras that are saying there's an advantage to wine. L'chari, there's a poshtek hashadon. There's a mechaber in Shulchan Aruch that seems to say, totally fakert, the grape juice can't be kosher. Because the mechaber says, that if somebody doesn't drink wine because it's mazikim, not that it makes him really ill, but it bothers him, he doesn't feel well from it, or he doesn't like it, tzorich, he needs to push himself and drink wine to mekayim dalet kaisis. Now, where does this come from? This comes from the Tshuvas HaRashba brings that Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloi drank wine only Leil HaSeder, could be Kiddush Havdalah as well, it's not clear, only the four kaisis, only Leil HaSeder, and he had a headache till Shavuos. The Mesechta brings from Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Rav Yoina drank Dalet Kaisas, and he had to hold his head till the next Yom Tov is also Shavuos. But you see, he drank wine. So they say, drink grape juice. Elamai, it would seem to be a raya that grape juice is no good. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the world in the times of the Gemara and the world today are very different. In the times of the Gemara, grape juice did not exist Pesach time. Nowadays, they make the grape juice, they seal it in a keli, it's a total vacuum, and it stays fresh for weeks, months, and years. Keep it in a refrigerator, it stays fresh for weeks, months, and years. In those times, they didn't have the vacuum packs, they didn't have refrigerators, so they made grape juice sukkis time. If you make grape juice sukkis time, it doesn't last till Pesach. So grape juice did not exist Pesach time. Therefore, they had no choice. You want to be Mekayim Dalet Kaisis, this is only wine. And that's where wine became the beverage of choice and the only beverage, because nothing else kept. You make it into wine and it will last you. But grape juice, l'halocha is kosher. But l'chatchila, we try to have that should be wine to a degree. What's called wine? Wine, if somebody is able to drink wine, but wine itself is too strong, you can dilute it. What can you dilute it to? What level? In Gemara it says that the wine then was very strong, and they diluted it 1:3, 1:6. Our wine, in the present day, we have a problem. First of all, legally, in many countries, every single country, every single state has their own laws, but the wine comes pre-diluted. There's very often water added beforehand. And another thing is, they add extra taste to it, extra alcohol, extra taste, to make it stronger. So to dilute it now, you'd have to know what happened in the original chelik of the process and what's happening now. Because me'ikar din, as long as it still has the taste of wine, it's fine. But we don't know if the taste came from the wine. The taste may have come from the concentrated grape that was added in after that, which doesn't help you any. So ideally, if you're going to dilute the wine, the best taste is to dilute it with grape juice. If you dilute it with grape juice, it's a win-win situation. Misadechod, you have grape juice. Misadechod, you have wine. You have no problem. How much can you dilute it? So, Hagaon Rabbi Yisrael Belsky was a genius in everything. Science, in everything, and Baal Kulam in Torah. But he used all the knowledge he had to put it all together whenever any shiloh came from him. That's why he was the big, one of the biggest gedolim in Peskim in America on food preparation and everything else as well, because he knew all the aspects that were negeah. He says, scientifically, the way wine becomes wine is there's yeast in the wine which ferments the sugar. And the sugar, when it's fermented, turns over into alcohol. Yeast can only survive in an environment that it can deal with. Once wine reaches 14% alcohol, the yeast dies. Yeast can't survive in a mixture at 14% alcohol. So any wine you're going to find that's more than 14% alcohol had alcohol added in outside, wasn't from its original source. Says Rishol Belsky, the fizeh is going to come out that 14% was the maximum alcohol level ever reached by wine itself. They diluted it 1:3. That means 3 parts water to 1 part wine. If you dilute 14%, 1:3, you come out with 3.5% alcohol, was the wine they drank, Bizman Chazal, that we're discussing in the Mishnais. You have to drink a lot of it. Depends how much you drink, yeah. If you drink a lot of it, it would be Mishtaka. Yeah. So 3.5% wine, he says, is already cooled wine. Either Gemara says it was so strong they couldn't deal with it. He said there must have been other aspects. It was very thick, it was very this. The processing made it that they couldn't drink it at the 14%. But 3.5%, so he says, is still called alcohol. The Mechaber continues, vinegar to the wine. You should try to get red wine. Why are you trying to get red wine? In Hilchos Kiddush, Reish Ayin Beis, the Mechaber brings a machlekes. The Ramban holds, it says in the Pasuk, Alter Yayin Kis Adam, the highest quality wine is red. Pasuk in Mishlei. The Ramban holds, for Kiddush, non-red wine is possible. Only red wine is kosher. We don't paskin like that, but ideally, lechatchila, you should use dafka red wine. Over here, the Pesukim say there's two added reasons to use red wine, aside from the chumra towards the Ramban. And that is because, again, every single thing we're doing, say, tonight, is to lead us to limudim and to understanding and to building ourselves up in the chayrus nitzias mitzrayim. So red wine, mitzad echod, reminds us of blood, and it reminds us of blood. Mitzad echod, it reminds us of the blood of makas dam, which was the blood that came as part of that soul of Klal Yisrael. And Mitzad Sheini, it reminds us of the blood that Pari shechted the Yiddish Kindelach and tables in their blood, and it reminds us of the Hatzolah that we had from the problem of the dam. So for both added reasons, it's kedai to use red wine. Taking white wine and putting in coloring doesn't help, because it's still white wine colored. Mixing red wine with white wine, or mixing grape juice, red grape juice with white wine, that's okay. Agav, it's kedai to bear in mind that if you're mixing it on Yom Tif, although we paskin halacha lemaisa ein tzviya ba'ichlin, that coloring food doesn't make a material difference in the food, and therefore it's not the melach of tziveya with the isr of tziveya. That's only because there's no material difference, this color food or that color food, it tastes the same. But here on Yom Tif, where there's a special reason why you want the wine to be dafka red, Shlomo Zalman and others say you should be careful the other way around, make sure to put the red in first and then the white, not to be tzivei, it's because you're looking here for the color specially. The two other shilas that come together to say the night, I'll speak a bit b'kitzer, on the wine itself, is in Kiddush, there's a machlokes rishonim on two types of wine. Wine that sugar or spices or honey is added, and cooked wine. If you have wine that sugar or spices or honey are added, the Rambam holds halacha lemaisa it's possible for Kiddush. Why? Because you need wine heroi linosich l'gabim isbayach. And it says in the Pasuk, you're not allowed to put honey on the Mizbeach. All these ingredients are possible. So wine that has it in it, the Rambam says it's possible for Kiddush. We pass him like the Ravid. The Ravid says, by Nisach HaYayin, you have a problem, because you're pouring it on the Mizbeach. Over here, you're making Kiddush on the wine. The fact that it has sugar inside is an added component. It's not a problem for us. Sugar added is kosher, but ideally you should be makbe not have sugar added. Sugar is added at different stages in wine preparation. In some cases it's added straight at the beginning in order to help the fermentation process. Some say that's not called sugar added at all. Other cases it's added later on. L'chatchila, there's a maila to mahader to use wine for the seder. Again, not for the suda. For the seder that doesn't have any sugar added. Another shaila comes, wine that's cooked, yain mevushel. Here the Rambam again says it's possible in Gansin for Kiddush. We don't paskin like the Rambam. The reason why Yayin Mevushel is possible is because wine that's cooked is considered to be of a lower quality than normal wine. And that's why for Yayin Nesach there's no problem if it's properly Mevushel, because Chazal never made a gzeira on the lower quality wine, and most people did not cook wine because it made a lower quality. The shaila is what's called cooked. The place can say different temperatures. The shach is mashma. The shach says in Yerdea that for wine to be considered cooked, it's because it's cooked to the point that some of it gets lost. Bizman hazeh, in the pasteurization process, it's not cooked the way it was then. You're not putting wine in a pot and lighting a flame underneath and cooking and evaporating. It's cooked or pasteurized, whatever you're going to do to it, in a sealed system, that everything stays inside, and it's flash heated in a way that nothing gets lost, and almost no change in taste. Shlomo Zalman in a tshuva writes that they spoke to the big wine experts. You know, the people that you see the pictures of tasting the wine in the cups and saying their dais and marking it on a scale of one to whatever. And they say they themselves can tell the difference between wine that was pasteurized or cooked and wine that wasn't pasteurized or cooked. So, ideally, it's kedai, if you can, to use wine that isn't cooked, say the night. The Kedem is very kind, and they make a chart every year of what it is. Kedem has an interesting einfall. The main problem of cooked wine is yayin nesach. So in any commercial establishment where they're going to be serving wine, whether it's going to be a hotel, whether it's going to be a hospital, or wherever it's going to be with a lot of people together, we're going to have non-Jewish waiters, the problem comes that the wine will be touched or served by the non-Jewish waiters. So all wine that's catering size, they make mevushel. So the thin bottles are all mevushel. The plastic bottles are all mevushel. But the 1.5 liter bottle, which is generally not used in the catering establishments, but is used for home use, is not mevushel. So ideally, what we're looking for, if you want to be mahadir as much as possible, say the night, is to use wine that's not mevushel, wine that doesn't have any sugar added, and there are different kinds that don't have sugar added, wine that's red, and l'chatchil, it should be wine. Yayin kal, a lot of the companies make yayin kal, a lower level. Some people think that it's diluted. I've heard that Kedem's yayin kal, it's not shot that it's a dilute between one wine and the other wine. It's just that they stopped the fermentation process earlier. So it's regular wine, just with an earlier stopped fermentation process. And as I was saying over, Yisrael Belsky holds, once you reach 3.5%, then it's already considered wine to be eaten in the midst of Dal Kaisas, Behidur, with a mila of wine. All this that we're discussing is going to get to reach the stages of Dal Kaisas Tiknu Chazal Der Cheirus. But it's still 10-2, yeah? The shaila is, what's chayrus? What are we looking for with the chayrus that we're trying to get to, say, the night? If it were just that we shouldn't be slaves, we're not. Baruch Hashem. Al-Kofa, there's much more to it. In the Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Bo, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Boy al Parai, and then he continues. But Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu the message to call Yisrael through the generations. Ulaman tisaper ba'ozni vincha, and in order that you should tell over to your children, uven bincha, and to your grandchildren, eis asheris alalti b'mitzrayim, that which Rashi says sichakti, I made fools out of Mitzrayim. Ves oisay sayesh asamtivon v'yidatem ki ani Hashem. If we would be looking for the message of say the Pesach, we'd be looking to say, we were in Mitzrayim, it was Gefelach, we had Tzores, Meshubet, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. What's the Eis Asher Salalti by Mitzrayim? Where does that come in? Is Salalti? So what? Pshat is that, as we're saying the whole time, Seder night is a Talich that we're supposed to be going through again from Vayitzaisi to Vayitzalti to Vigaalti. That's the freedom. The next stage is the lokachti eschem lila om to reach Kabbalah Satoya and Har Sinai. To reach the stage of Kabbalah Satoya and Har Sinai, we have to be ready emotionally and spiritually to be Makabala Kodesh Baruch Hu as the only Kayach in the world. When Kaisel was in Mitzrayim, they had a big problem. They were living in the most civilized country in the world. The country whose science was the most advanced in the world, the country whose magic, and that was very choshem in those days, was in the highest madrig in the world. And they looked up to the Mitzrayim. It's a normal thing. You're living in the most civilized country in the world. They're fantastic. What was their dream? To be free at that stage, to be like them, to be like the Mitzrayim to a degree. If they get free now, what do they see now? That Mitzrayim is strong, Mitzrayim is special, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stronger. So on their scale of Chshivus, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the top, and Mitzrayim running a very close second. That is not the way you can go to be Mekabel the Torah. You can only be Mekabel the Torah after you have an understanding that Mitzrayim is nothing. That Mitzrayim is the lowest of the low. And that's impossible, because they were living there subjugated to this country that was on the highest level in the world. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? The Makis, you see, in many, many different Mefarshim, were like a Bismedrash, a yeshiva, bringing Klal Yisrael to the Amunah they needed. One of the Chalokim they needed was that Mitzrayim was given a knockout blow that they're worthless. How do you do that? They had great kavod for them. Came Makkah number one. You have kavod from Mitzrayim, they're fantastic. But if you go to the river and they go to the river, and you each put in to get a drink of water, and you get water and he gets blood, your kavod goes down a notch. He has to pay you, even if you're drinking from the same cup, you get water and they get blood. He has to pay you to get a drink of water. The kavod is already beginning to shake. Move on to Makkah Sfardaya, and the Yidden are walking along the paths, beautiful, great, comfortable. The Mitzriim are slipping and sliding in the slime of the frogs. There are frogs crawling over, all over them. There are frogs in their stomachs. And when they talk, they croak from the frogs in their stomachs. Their kavod has gone down a much further second notch. Then move on to Kinim. The Yidden are walking on comfortable land. Everything is great. And the Mitzriim are walking an amah deep in lice. And they have lice all over them, and they're scratching themselves and trying to get rid of the lice, and it doesn't go anywhere. The kavod has gone down another notch. The next stage is, Klal Yisrael is walking through. There are wild animals everywhere, and Klal Yisrael is fine. And the Mitzriim are running for their lives away from these wild animals. The kavod goes down the second and fourth notch. Ore, Dever, Shechin, Borod, Arbe, Chayshach, Makas Bechiras. By that stage already, Mitzriim was nothing. So they could leave Mitzrayim without Korah. Mitzrayim is nothing. So the Eis HaSheris Halalti B'Mitzrayim knocked out Mitzrayim. No Korah left to them. Now you can move on to Kabbalah Sotera. That was then. But Lamaisa, as the generations go by, we have the same problem again and again. I remember hearing Reb Gifter said in the Shavuos in camp once, he said, every generation will never be moider that they're not moral. They'll always say they're moral, but they call it the new morality. This, what the old generation thought wasn't moral, is moral, but there's a new morality. We'll push the bars a little further and further and further, that I can do what I want and still call myself moral. And that danger exists in every single generation, up to our generation. As the Meshech Chochmah writes, V'yoyim Berlin zu Yerushalayim, was a danger in his times. Therefore, the Pasuk says, not just by you, Ulaman tesaper ba'oz mevincha, your children. Uven bincha, and your grandchildren, every generation has to hear this. What's that three generation means forever? Every generation has to hear this, of what went wrong there, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made fools out of Mitzrayim. And al yidei that, we can come back. Say tonight, we're looking to be Bnei Chayrin. What is a Ben Chayrin? A Ben Chayrin is somebody who's totally freed, not just from the work, not just from the labor, but emotionally and spiritually free from all aspoys of Mitzrayim. We drink wine. We lean, haseba. We have somebody else pour the kaisas. But what we're trying to get to is the end stage, that we're bnei chayrin mamish. All of that are the physical enhancements that will bring us to the chayrus. But we need to be the bnei chayrin. And for that, we need to work through what happened there. And in our generations as well, all the things, if you look at the if you realize what's going on in the outside world, the drugs, the everything, and whatever shines underneath is very, very much not gold. If you come to those hakaras, then you can come to be the emes of Bnei Chayrin, and we should be zeicha to Bnei Chosom and Azvochim and Apsochim, Shem to Zechin Lusadori, Zechin Diskel Asoise. Thank you.